David arrives on the battlefield where the armies are facing off one against the other. The Israelites and the Philistines. There's one whose name was Goliath, who is taunting the people of Israel, the army of the Lord, challenging them to a one-on-one battle, their strongest man against him. This is a tactic that was commonly used in the Eastern world in this day. Instead of both armies coming out and slaughtering each other, let's just let one man win and one man die. Whoever wins, their whole army wins. Whoever dies, your whole army is lost. Now this Goliath, as Vicki read, he's no ordinary fellow. The biblical description is he is 6 cubits in a span, which comes in somewhere around 9 feet, 9 inches tall. If you add to his height, the length of his arms must have been when he would stretch them out or hold them over his head, you can imagine what an imposing sight this would have been. But it wasn't just his size. He is clothed in armor, and the scripture goes into a great deal of detail about his armor. A coat of mail, a coat of bronze, ringlets of bronze that went from shoulder to knee. So he's covered from shoulder to knee. This thing weighs a couple hundred pounds that he's wearing. He also has a bronze helmet on his head and bronze leggings that would have covered. So where the tunic ends, the leggings come up to his knee. This dude is covered in bronze. And he's got a spear in his hand. The head of his spear, scripture says, weighs 20 to 25 pounds. Now, in case he feels vulnerable while he's wearing all this stuff, There's a grown man who stands in front of him carrying a shield. Pause for a moment and let your mind picture this sight. And here he comes out day after day calling out the army. And they're just, you know, seeing the odds stacked against him. Who wants to go against this guy? Who's foolish enough to face off against this guy in battle? Every day for 40 days, Goliath the giant comes out and issues the same challenge, and no one volunteers until David shows up. David hears the challenge, and he looks at the army of the living God, trembling in fear. "Who does this guy think he is?" he asks, "to defy the armies of the living God." And he looks at the armies trembling in fear and says, "And have you forgotten who you are? What's up with you people?" Well, we know the story. David volunteers, and not only does he fight the giant, but much to everyone's surprise, takes him down. Great story. Can you find yourself in the story? I hope so. Because we face giants every day. From childhood bullies, physical ailments. Sometimes when the weather's just right, I'd just soon stay in bed as get up and try to move. Financial pressure, job security, dealing with retirement, parenting teenagers, heartbreak, loneliness, every one of us at several points in life face a person or a thing that look like Goliath, make us feel small and powerless. As I've lived my life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, trying to run the race of spiritual formation to be conformed to the likeness of my God, my Savior, one thing's been true over and over and over again. There's always a giant. Something or someone that is going to try to prevent me from fulfilling God's purpose in my life. Whether I have a big dream and somebody tells me it can't be done, or whether I'm trying to be faithful and live a life that is in line with God's purpose, there's always some temptation getting in my way to drag me off track, There are giants around every corner, standing in the way of me becoming the person God intends for me to be. And I know I'm not alone in this. I know that you all face challenges. We all have giants in our lives. They're not the same giants, but we face challenges. And we can learn from David as each of us is running our own race of spiritual formation, relying on God's amazing grace. There's a popular Christian song out right now. It's called Grace Wins Every Time. By grace, we practice faith in the everyday battles of life, the smaller battles compared to the Goliath battles, the small battles that we face. Where do you think David's confidence came from? He got it from the same source we can get it. He had seen God work in the daily battles of life, in the lesser battles. He had seen God work to vanquish lesser adversaries in his life. What he said in verse 37, what Vicky read, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." David's faith had sustained him and strengthened him in the everyday battles of life, preparing him to face this particular giant. Challenges come every day in life. And God helps us by grace to learn to trust God more, to see God at work through them and in them. And as that happens, our faith grows. Jeremiah, who we'll hear more from next week, spoke to the people of his day who were failing in their faith because they seemed to be surrounded on every side by giants. And Jeremiah said to them, "If you've raced against humans on foot and they have tired you out, how could you compete with horses? If you stumble in open country, how can you hope to live in the jungle along the Jordan River?" Here's the thing about giants that we face. Giants don't make us heroes or zeros. They simply reveal the sum of what's already inside of us. When we face giants, we don't get transformed in an instant into a hero. David wasn't transformed instantly into a hero so he could defeat Goliath and there'd be a nice story in the Bible about overcoming a giant. David already had in him everything that he needed, and this showdown simply exposed what David was made of. Everyday heroes testify to this all the time. Don't we hear these stories all the time? When the media lifts somebody up as a hero and they go, "I just did what anybody would do." When we encounter a giant, a big issue, a tough challenge, something bigger than we are, we often tend instantly in the moment to feel powerless, helpless. "I don't have any control over this." And so we start to get into the negative zone. We start to think we're going to lose. That's what's happened with the Lord's army up here. They gather for battle and they're all, you know, full of themselves and thinking, "Okay, we're going to take on these Philistines until this 9-foot giant shows up. No, he's kind of big. All right, maybe not." We back down. We forget who we are. And if we look at the people around us, like David's brothers and the others in the army, they're looking at the people around them. Nobody's encouraging anybody else to get up and face the giant. Because unless you have overcome, unless you have faced a giant by faith and overcome, you will always say it's impossible. Unless you've had that experience in your life of facing against overwhelming odds, an impossible thing that cannot be accomplished, unless you have beaten a giant with a slingshot shot and a stone, you will always say, "You can't do it, it can't be done." David arrives on the battlefield, he begins asking about the giant and this opposition that he faced. First comes from his own family, his brother, Eliab. Now, don't forget who Eliab is. He was the first one to walk before Samuel that day when God sent Samuel to anoint the one who would be the next king, the one who would follow Saul, who was the current king. God sent Samuel to this household and said, among these brothers is my next king. And he sent Samuel the prophet to anoint the king. And all the brothers paraded out before Samuel the prophet. And Samuel thought, wow, he's really tall. Wow, he's really handsome. Wow, he's really strong. It must be him. And all the brothers came and went. And God said, nope, it's none of these. And Samuel said to their father, are these all your sons? And their father said, well, there's David. Bring him in. And so Eliab, the oldest, stood there and watched as David was anointed. Watched the oil poured on his head. Watched the oil dripping off his chin. And so then, when David shows up in Eliab's territory, he looks at his little brother and says, what are you doing here? Where'd you leave the sheep, David? And he gets downright ugly and says, you have a wicked heart. You just showed up for the excitement. David's own brothers disregard him. They wanted to keep him in his place. But his place, you see, wasn't determined by them. It was determined by the Lord. They said, you're an insignificant shepherd. And God said, you are a shepherd king who will unify my people into a great kingdom. Facing our giants isn't about who we might become someday. Facing our giants is about that revelation of who we already are. And we can only know who we are when we know who God is. We are God's children. We are made in God's image. So if we don't know anything about God, how can we know about ourselves? Regardless of what anyone says about him, David remembers, he calls to mind, he gathers all of the parts into a complete picture, and he says, I come to Goliath in the name of the Lord of heavenly forces, the God of Israel's army. The situation doesn't determine who David is. The things his brothers say to him do not determine who David is. What I look like on the outside does not determine who I am on the inside. I am not defined by other people's perceptions of me. As a child of the living God, I am in the world, but not of the world. Oh, you're too old, you're too short, you're too weak, you're too small, you're good for nothing, you're not enough like your siblings, you're only a shepherd, you're untrained, you don't have the right skill set for this job, you're too old, you don't measure up to much in this life, the world might say. But God has a different opinion. God knows the treasure that you are. God knows the gifts that God has given you. God knows what's already inside you. God sees the warrior within you that makes you able to stand and face a giant. And by God's amazing grace, overcome with just a sling and a stone. When we grow in faith, as we go forward on this journey by God's grace, we remember this is not all there is for us. When we know that there's a God who has already purposed our lives according to his plan, we're no longer satisfied to live someone else's story, someone else's idea about what we're supposed to be. We know that the story of God is our story, the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The story of Moses and Joshua and Gideon. The story of Hannah and Samuel and David. The story of Saul and Solomon, of Jeremiah and Isaiah, of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. The story of Mary and Mary and Mary and Martha. the story of Nathaniel, the story of Peter, the story of Paul. Friends, if you're wondering who I'm talking about, read the story. It's in the book. It's God's story, and he wrote it for you because it's your story. It's your story. And when you find your story in God's story, you're no longer defined by anyone else's lies about who you are, anyone else's ideas about your limits. You're no longer defined by cultural standards of what is acceptable, what's cool, what's weird, and what's out of line. When we have giants to face, we come by faith. We come in the truth of the God who has defined us within his story. Not as the world tells us we ought to be, according to their story. The enemy can defeat us only when we forget who we are. And he likes to engage us in his own territory. He says, she lied to you. Why do you have to tell her the truth? He says, you've been hurt. It's okay to hurt back. He says, someone took what was yours, take from someone else. These are the enemy's tactics. And they spiral us in a circle of uselessness and futility, rather like taking on a charging grizzly bear with a can of silly string, trying to fight the world's battles the way the world engages. David left his brothers. He sought out and came to Saul. When Saul heard about what David was saying, Saul sent for him. And remember, Saul was the king. He had the authority to send David into battle. He's the only one who had the authority because, remember, one man fights for the whole army. So the king hears David's bravado and he says, all right, you're willing to take this guy on, but you know what? You're not able. You're just a boy. You're not trained. You're not a warrior. He calls out all those external things, all the evidence that says this is a suicide mission. Barring a miracle of God, Goliath will step on you and squash you like a bug. Exactly. But David won't let up, and so Saul dresses him in his armor. After all, Goliath is wearing armor for battle, so shouldn't David have some armor for battle? Well, friends, this is taking on the enemy using the enemy's tactics. David says, I can't fight in that stuff. I don't wear that stuff. That stuff is not going to help me. I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The one who made me able to kill the lions, to kill the bears when they threaten my sheep. The Lord will make me able to kill this Philistine. The Lord will make me able. God has already outfitted me for battle, David says. So, friends, when we look at battles in our own lives, we don't want to take them on the way the world says take them on. We want to look into Scripture and say, how does God say we ought to struggle? How does God say we ought to fight battles? In Ephesians 6:12, it's very clear our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and cosmic powers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And Paul goes on to say in that text, the only way to overcome the giants that confront us is by putting on the armor of God, which includes truth and righteousness and peace and faith. And salvation. And oh yeah, the Word of God. When you put on God's armor and use it in the same way that David used that sling and those five smooth stones, you will begin to see the giants fall in your life. The Israelites have been so afraid because they're comparing Goliath's size to their own size. And from that perspective, they were outclassed. They forgot to remember who had their back. They forgot to know who was in their corner. When my kids were in high school, they were swimmers. And for a while in high school, we had a co-ed team. Boys and girls swam together because we didn't have enough for a girls' team. So the girls that wanted to swim swam the boys' season, which was great for my daughter when she was a freshman. because she knew all the senior boys. Made her very cool in school. But it also gave our son, as he came in his freshman year, he was the older, he's older than my daughter. When he came in his freshman year, and he'd been in junior high swimming also with these young men, and so as he comes in freshman year, you know, he's got some buddies that are older than him, because anybody on a swim team at school, or I know marching band kind of does the same thing, you spend a lot of time together, right, when you get connected with people. So these guys know each other. Well, like one of the early football games during the swim season, same season, one of the early football games, the guys all go to the game, and, you know, my son's a freshman and his buddies, and they're sitting up there in the stands, you know, kind of hanging out, being kids, doing stuff kids do in high school. And here comes this group of sophomores that come up, and they're going to throw their weight around a little bit and kind of try and start something with these guys. And one of my son's buddies, Tim, you know, he's thinking a lot of himself, and so he stands up. He's going to take on these sophomores, and they're starting to kind of do this exchange thing, and all of a sudden, all the sophomores, you know, is kind of start backing off and just walking away, and Tim's thinking, well, I'm pretty cool. Look at that. I face down the sophomores, and then as they move out of the way, Tim sees behind them all of his senior swim team buddies. God does that for us. God's back there. God's working in our corner. God's going to take the things that think they have power over us and reduce them when we look beyond those things and remember God is there. God's going to take those things and make space for us by faith to defeat our giants. I know how big my God is. Who shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies, another Christian song says, is always by my side. But my favorite song about how big God is. Man, I wish we had our system working here because I'd just show you a video. But since it's not, I'm going to have to sing for you. Are there any VeggieTales fans in the house? So maybe you can help me. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's watching out for you and me. Excellent song. And I hope it sticks in your head all day today. Because it's very simple and it's very, very true. You face your giants knowing that God is bigger than the boogeyman. Bigger than Godzilla. Bigger than Goliath. If VeggieTales isn't your style, perhaps the words of John, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than the one who is in the world. Who do we rely on when we face giants? Who do we count on to carry our burdens? 1 Peter 5:6 through 11 says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Everybody's facing a giant. And the God of all grace, who called you in his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be power forever and ever. Amen.